Hallelujah. Today is Palm Sunday, and we want to look into the Word. I just pray that the Lord will minister to us through His Word, in Jesus' name. Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. Let the King in. Everybody say, let the King in. Shall we say that? One more time. Matthew 21, verse 1 through 11. We are going to see if there's time. We see two other things under that same chapter. Matthew chapter 21, from verse 1. Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them. And immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. When he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? So the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus came to Jerusalem in order to fulfill a prophetic assignment. To fulfill his ministry, the messianic ministry. There was a prophecy concerning him and concerning the purpose of his coming. So he came as the last week of his earthly living before he was crucified, known as the week of passion. And this is the week of passion we are in. Hallelujah. So Jesus came in order to fulfill this part of the scripture. He is the king. He is the king. And he has to enter into Jerusalem as the king. Hallelujah. And he also enter into Jerusalem as the conqueror. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, in those days, when kings, when they go to battle and they fight and they win the battle, they will come back, you know, enter into the city triumphantly. They celebrate. You know, and people will welcome them. They ride on horse in order to show that they have won the battle. So Jesus had already won the battle in the spirit. He was only going to demonstrate it physically. So he was coming in as the king. He was coming in as the conqueror. Hallelujah. In Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, that is the fulfillment. That is what Jesus was fulfilling because it was prophesied. Shall we read Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9? Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. Do we have it? Okay. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation lonely, and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. We read it here. But that is that, Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Hallelujah. Jesus is the conquering general. So he came into the city riding on the horse. But before then, let's look at verses 2 and 3. Jesus sent his disciples to go to the next village to do what? To untie the donkey and to untie the colt. Now, that is something I want us to look at in this portion. Every man, every woman, every creation, God created every being for his glory. God created every living thing for his glory. Now, for a time, Jesus lived for the purpose of Jesus riding on a colt and a donkey that has never been ridden. A man, a family, did that for Jesus. He never knew. He raised that colt. He raised that donkey. And that donkey was tied, ready for Jesus. He never knew what he was doing. But that was for Jesus. When the time came, Jesus said, just to the disciple, go to the next village. You will see. He gave them the description. You will see a colt. You will see a donkey tied. Loose them and bring them. Because they were meant for that purpose. They were meant for that time. And if anyone question you, let them know the Lord is in need of it. Hallelujah. Amen. You were meant for a time like this. You were meant for this time. If not, we would have been born in 1900. God would have allowed you to be born in Japan or elsewhere. But you were born here. And those of us who were born somewhere, we came here. For a time like this, something don't just happen. God orchestrated everything in the spirit, and things are working according to his purpose. So they untied the donkey, they untied the colt for Jesus to ride on, because that was the time. In the spirit realm, it was time for him to ride into Jerusalem. It was time for the Messiah to show forth that he is the Messiah. The prophetic word has been laid down in the Old Testament. Now he's going to fulfill it. That the Messiah will come. He's going to ride on a horse. Hallelujah. I pray this morning that every prophetic word over your life before you were born. Please stand up. Just feel this. Kapo selekataya. I want to pray right now. Just put your right hand upon your head and decree that every prophetic word that God has released, God has spoken, every word that God has spoken concerning you that you will fulfill in your time before you die, that you enter into it right now. What heaven spoke about you, what heaven decreed about you, what heaven said about you, what heaven said you will accomplish here on earth, what heaven said you will accomplish in the kingdom, pray right now and say, Lord, I enter into my prophetic moment, into the season that heaven spoke about many years ago before I was born. Ah, that heaven spoke concerning me. Lord, nothing is happening by accident. All that heaven spoke concerning me. Lord, at this moment, I enter into the season. Lord, let heavens be opened this morning. Jehovah God, let, oh Father, every prophetic word you told Jeremiah before you were born, I knew you. Before you were conceived in your mother's womb, I separated you. I set you apart for a purpose to fulfill. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Take all the glory. Take all the honor. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Not only the donkey, not only the disciples, even the crowd. Shall please have a seat. Thank you. Even the crowd that came out to honor Jesus, laying down their clothes, laying down the branches, laying down everything, and they began to shout, Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna to him that cometh in the name of the Lord. They were assigned at that moment. They didn't know. They would lead for that purpose. And they did not fail. You will not fail in Jesus' name. I say you will not fail in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Jesus had to ride on a donkey in order to identify his messianic position, his kingship. The word Hosanna in Aramaic simply means save now. Save now. What do I say? Lord, now is the time we need salvation. Now is the time we need the Savior. Now is the time we need deliverance. And they were singing it. They were asking, Lord, as you ride in, Hosanna to you. We are connected with you. Now is our salvation. Now Jerusalem needs to be saved. Now every soul needs to be saved. Now we need help. But unfortunately, 5 days later, they were shouting and crying at Jesus, crucify him. Crucify him. Let his blood be upon us. I pray this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. They were prophesying, they didn't know. Now is the salvation. Now, today, there is something that needs to be loose today. There is something that needs to be broken today. There is something that has been tied down, that the words of Jesus is coming straight right now. And there must be freedom. In the mighty name of Jesus. And when anyone, any power, any entity, any authority, any power, principality, question you, why are you doing that? Why are you doing that? Why are you asking? Why do you want to possess your possession? If there is any contender, tell them the Lord is in need. This is the time for me to step into my prophetic movement. The time heaven spoke about many years ago. You have to rise. You have to rise. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The crowd that followed Jesus that were shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, at one time they were expecting that Jesus would deliver them from the Roman power, from the power that had them bound. While they were saying Hosanna, they were thinking one thing, but prophetically, what they were saying, their soul were crying, we need salvation. But they were thinking it's just a physical thing. Jesus set us free from the Romans. But they needed salvation. They needed deliverance from sin. They needed to be saved. They needed to be delivered. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our God will never lack all that he needs to have the fulfillment of the kingdom purpose here on earth. Whatever he's going to take, all he needs is a word. Whatever God needs to fulfill the end time assignment, all he needs is a word. You go there. You know, he has the word. To whoever, whether the owner of the donkey, whether the guardian of the donkey, whether the people that were sent, they just need the word. All that God needs to fulfill his purpose here on earth, and you are part of that kingdom, all he needs is a word for you to obey and for every entity, every power to listen and to obey. If God is sending you, if God is guiding, if God is giving you that assignment, and the assignment of soul winning, and you go there, God will release them. I said the bonds will be released. Those who are bound will be set free. In the mighty name of Jesus. I'm not following what I wrote there. Whatever comes up. Hallelujah. Now, what is your cry today? The people cried, Hosanna, Hosanna. To the Son of David. They were connecting Jesus to the Davidic royal lineage. Because it has been prophesied, we come from that lineage, the royal lineage. And he's going to sit, he's going to be of that lineage. And as a king, he's going to reign forever and ever. But he came, they did not recognize him as king at that time. What is your cry? What is the cry of your heart today? The cry of the people that time was, Lord, save us from the Romans. Save us from the Romans. Save us now. We need help now. A lot of people today, they are crying, and the cry is, Lord, for us to just have our healing, to just got our job. Lord, we need, Lord, our head back, our health back, our wealth back. We need, oh God, our deliverance. But much more than all that, they need the salvation of their heart, the deliverance from the wicked one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The question is, do you want Jesus as the king of your life? Let the king in. Wherever Jesus enters, when Jesus enters into Jerusalem, because it even said at that time, everything created by God must rejoice. They must celebrate him because it's time for celebration. And that was why when the enemies of Jesus, when you read that verse 15 of this chapter 21, the priests and the scribes, when they saw the wonderful things that Jesus did, I'm coming to that later, they said, you know, another part of the scripture, not in Matthew, said, tell them to shut their mouth. They should not be singing. Do you know the kind of song they are singing? Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna to he who cometh in the name of the Lord. That is meant for Messiah. Tell them to shut up. Jesus said, you don't know what is happening. In the spirit, this is the season. This is the season. If this one will shut their mouth, immediately stones will rise. Stones will rise and they will shout and they will cry and they will sing. May we not be replaced by stones. May you not be replaced by stone. If you are to shout, shout. This is your season of shouting for Jesus. This is your season of crying for Jesus. This is your season of going for Jesus. This is your season of fulfilling the destiny that God meant for you. Rise and do it. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't just desire, Lord, I want to get out of trouble. I want to get out of my need. I want to get out of poverty. I want to get out of oppression. That is all I need. You need something better than that. You need to be aligned with the purpose of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me read further because there's something the Lord wants to give us this morning, challenge us this morning. That is this last week of Jesus. You know, when he rode into Jerusalem, the first thing he did was he went into where? The temple. He went into the temple from verse 12. Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold those. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer. But you have made it a den of what? A den of thieves. He went and cleansed the temple. Jesus went and cleansed the temple. He had proved himself, the first portion we saw, verses 1 to 11, as the king. Now he is demonstrating the authority of the king. He went to the temple. He saw them buying and selling. There had been a conversion from what originally the temple was meant for. It's now the center of trade, the center of exchange instead of the center of worship. So the purpose of the temple was to serve as a place of worship, connection with God, a place of prayer and intersection, a place of restoration and healing. But they turned it around. It became what? It became a place where vendors were selling their wares. Where they were selling sheep and goat and doves and exchanging money. And Jesus was hungry. Holy hunger. He demonstrated his messianic authority right here. And what did he do? He overthrew. Hallelujah. He overthrew. He threw away their wares. And he told them, you are using this temple wrongly. This is not what it's meant for. And unfortunately, that is what is happening today. Not just physically. The Bible says we are the temples of the Holy Spirit. We are the temples of God. God meant that this temple would be a means of connection with him. A means of serving him. A means of worshiping him. A means of we knowing him and serving him and doing his will. But many temples have been polluted. Many temples are not serving the purpose for which God meant it to be. Jesus will do a cleansing this morning. In my temple, in your temple. In the mighty name of Jesus. Whatever is there that it ought not to be there, the Lord will flush them out. In the name of Jesus, I said the Lord will flush them out. In the mighty name of Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 19 to 20 says, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord dwells in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what is within? What is in your temple? What is in your heart? What is in your temple? What is in your heart? Manga basile de bos. Reba baba rokos kalele bos shatayala baba baba. There are so many lives because of the end time and all that is we are going through in the world today. A lot of lives are filled with worries. Many are filled with anxiety. Many are filled with fear, battles within, battles without. Battles in the daytime, battles in the night. And unfortunately, as Christians, many have not been able to know their position as believers to take the authority God has given to them and use it and stand against the wicked one. He's a thief. He has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So Jesus came to the temple, and what he did, he restored back the temple to what it should be. What did he meet? He met religiosity. He met all that they were doing as a nation. He met, you know, all the activities in the temple, and Jesus condemned it. He did not, you know, just wave them. He condemned it. Whatever that is going on in our lives, polluting the temple, not allowing us to serve God the way we should serve God, is condemned by heaven. In the mighty name of Jesus. I said it's condemned by heaven. In the mighty name of Jesus. Jesus drove out. Look at verses 13 and 14. Let's go back to Matthew 21, verses 13 and 14. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of what? Prayer. But you have made it a den of thieves. I want to connect that with verse 14 so that you see what Jesus called the house of God, the temple, what it should be. Verse 14. Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. So the temple is meant for prayers. It's meant for restoration. It's meant for prayers. It's meant for restoration. He said, but you are not doing any of this. You are neither praying nor restoring lives. But all you do is selling and buying. And he drove them out. One of the strategies of the enemies in this end time is to occupy believers with a lot of diversions, a lot of distractions, a lot of baggages. You carry the load you are not supposed to carry. Sometimes you fight the battles you are not supposed to fight. In order to make sure you are not doing the right thing. So one word, we major in minor, we minor in major. And in doing that, it weakens the believer. Don't forget, the devil doesn't have power over you. If you are born again and you are living right, he doesn't have power over you. The only thing with, you know, many believers think the devil has power over them because he's playing on your intelligence. Because you do not know who you are. If you know who you are, that you are a child of the living God, and that the Spirit of the Lord dwells inside of you, the devil cannot mess with you if you stand right with the blood of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I was sharing on yesterday, I said, I didn't come to vigil on Friday because I was about to travel. Unfortunately, I couldn't make that journey very early in the morning. But as early as 4 a.m., the Spirit of the Lord cheered me up to pray. That is 4 Saturday morning now. So I started praying, and as I was praying in the Spirit led me to take authority over certain things. And I did that, including, you know, certain things that had to do with my lineage. I did that. And as soon as I prayed that prayer for about 1 hour for that section, And I dozed off. As I was dozing up, the strong man that I was binding showed up. Hallelujah. The strong man showed up. That's to tell you, he's saying, no, I've been here. I've been doing this all this while. You can't do that. It's challenging. But the Spirit of the Lord and the fire of the Holy Spirit and the blood of the Lamb is my weapon. Hallelujah. I hand myself with them and I decree, you are already defeated by the cross, by the blood, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And that was it. So I began to see, I kept on praying until 6, and the things worked the way it went, and certain things begin to happen physically. Now, you must know who you are. You must stand as a child of God in the position that God has placed you. If you don't know your right, if you don't know who you are, the enemy will toss you here and there. So like I said earlier on, distraction is happening. Just as the people in the temple, they were distracted from doing the right thing. Now it's about, it's still about God. You see, we have to sell all these doves and all these sheep and all these things, not because it was sacrifice. But that was not the original purpose of the house of God. Should be a place of power. Should be a place of prayer. Should be a place of communion. It should be a place where people are healed. Spiritually, physically, psychologically, emotionally. That was why Jesus demonstrated it, what the temple should be like. He drove them out. And he told them, my house shall be called the house of prayer. And as soon as he finished that, what happened? The lame, the blind, those who were sick came to him in the temple. Is it not written that, temple should not be allowed for that? Jesus is saying, look, that is what originally temple should be. There must be a place where, hallelujah, people are restored. Life are restored back. Those who have been beaten down by the enemy are given their life back. Restoration begin to take place. So Jesus demonstrated right there what the house of God should be. Brethren, that is who you are. You ought to demonstrate the kingdom. The power of the kingdom is inside of you. Amen. You must stand right for who He called us. He called you a child of God. We are carriers. Amen. Amen. We are carriers of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So this morning, whatever that is not functioning well, whatever is there that needs to be flushed out, just as Jesus flushed out those who were buying and selling. Anger, jealousy, pride, ungodliness, filthiness, careless talk, whatever it is, must be flushed out so that you'll be able to take your position as a child of God. Hallelujah. You have the great advantage. You have the name of Jesus. You have the blood of Jesus. You have that great advantage over the enemy. And this temple of yours must serve the Lord. This temple of yours must do the will of the Lord. Hallelujah. So he entered into Jerusalem the last week of his stay here on earth to do that. Show that he is the king. They welcomed him physically. He's just demonstrating, telling them that, look, this is how it's going to look like. He's coming back again as the king over all kings. And he's going to ride on the same horse. I'm talking about the horse right now. The horse that will come from heaven. And he's going to show his power. He's coming as the lion. He came as the lamb. All right? He's coming as the lion. He's going to reign with iron fists. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. How do we see this in our life? We're going to pray the prayer now. Let's stand on our feet. Let's pray that prayer. Lord, flush out anything called religion. Anything religion. Religiosity without the power of God. Religiosity without doing the will of God. No, just coming to church, hear the word of God, we go back and we are not doing what he says we should do. It's just mere religiosity. I'm not just talking about you. I'm talking about me. I'm talking about the entire world. That is what is happening in the world today. Today, a lot of people carry palm and they sing and they go everywhere. And at the end, that's all. But Jesus wants to live in their heart, wants to live in their homes. We must allow that king to reign, to come in. We We must allow Jesus to come into our temple as he did in those days. Flush out. Shall we pray this hour? Let's pray, Lord, flush out anything that is not of you in my home, in my life, in my business, in my health, in all that concerns me. Lord, flush out anything that is not glorifying you. Open your mouth and pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, flush out anything that is not glorifying you. Anything that is, Lord, hampering your movement in my life. Anything that is hampering your movement in my home. Anything that is hampering your movement in this city. Pray, brethren, pray. My house shall be called a house of prayer. My house shall be called a house of prayer. A place of healing. A place of restoration. A place where life is given. Oh, yes, we must learn to pray. Let's pray. Lord, flush out any impediment, anything, oh God, any deposit in my system, in my lineage, in my line, in my destiny, anything has deposited, oh Lord, in whatever form. Father, this morning, flush them out. Let them be flushed out. Lord, I use the blood of Jesus. I use the name of Jesus. Lord, let them be flushed out this hour in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh Lord, purify, Jehovah God, purify my soul, my spirit, my being in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Implant in me the love for souls. Let's pray. Lord, implant in me the love for souls. Love for souls. Love for men and women. Jesus demonstrated that. The people concentrated on buying and selling their doves, their wares, but Jesus, he saw those who were sick, those who were lame, those who were handicapped, and he showed them mercy. He healed them. He set them free. Let us pray, Lord. We have been talking about souls here in this church. Let's ask the Lord, Father, create in me, O God, a great hunger for souls. Lord God Almighty, not only that we are saying in the month of March, let it go beyond. Every day of my life, may I have concern for souls. Lord God Almighty, let me have concern for souls. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, King of Kings. We bless your name, O Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. And amen. Shall we please have our seat? Thank you. Verse 15, but when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, what happened? Jesus flushed out those who were buying and selling. He drove them out. And in place of that, he healed those who were sick. So when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and then the children see crying outside over there, maybe on the street, and what happened few minutes or hours before that time, crying out in the temple, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant. They were angry. And they said to him, do you hear what these are saying? Jesus said unto them, he answered with the word of God, yes. Have you not read, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The chief priest, the high priest, whatever they call their name, they have no love for souls, no love for anyone. All they care is just the law. The law. Follow the law. But Jesus is saying, look, the souls of men, that is the purpose why I came. I came to die for them. Hallelujah. Let's take the last and then we are going to pray. Still on that chapter. Then he left them and went out of the city to Bethany. And he lodged there. Now in the morning, as he returned to the city, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it but leaves. And said to it, let no fruit grow on you ever again. Immediately, the fig tree withered away. If you read the other account, the Bible says that the following day when they were coming, they now discovered that it was, dried up. Another account also says that Jesus saw leaves, so many leaves, because the time of, the fig tree, the time for season of, the fruit coming up is not yet. I don't think that's when you compare with other, what he's saying is this, because In those days, the way fig, the way they grow, and when they grow to the level of bearing fruit, what you see first are the fruits. The fruit come out first on those branches. After the fruits have come out on the branches, after that, you now have the leaves to cover them. Right? So, in one word, wherever you see leaves of fig tree, you definitely see fruit. Because the fruit came out first before the leaves to cover it. But Jesus came to this fig tree. There are leaves, but no fruit. That is deception. That is not functioning the way, in fact, the very purpose of which that fig tree was meant for, it did not meet the standard, right? That is, I call it abnormality. It's abnormality. For a fig tree to have that much leaves and no fruit, giving a wrong signal to whoever, now to Jesus. Now come, I have so much fruits, because the leaf proves that I have fruits. But Jesus came there and found nothing but leaves. First, it's about the nation of Israel, but then it's talking about us, it's talking about me. Religiosity without fruits, without the fruit of the Spirit, without the grace of God, without you showing that you have contact with He who has life, is just mere religiosity. That is, no fig tree with beautiful leaves, but no fruit. And God, Jesus, condemned it. Heaven condemns it. That's why Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 5, He said, I'm the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Whoever abides in me will do what? Will bear fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. And in verse 16, it says, no, this is the will of the Father for you, that you do what? You bear much fruit. And that your fruit should do what? Remain. So, coming to church, reading Bible, singing, dancing, no fruit, heaven condemns it. It doesn't glorify God. It's just positioning us like the children of Israel as a nation. God raised them up to be a means through which other nations, Gentiles, people will come and they will take the fruit of life and they will live. They will have hope. But what happened? Other nations, instead of finding fruits in Israel as a nation, what do they find? Religiosity, orderliness. All the glittering things in the temple and everything, just as we find it earlier on. But there is no fruit to show for it. No fruit. No fear of God. And that is what is happening today. The world is coming to an end. The world is becoming more churchy. Alright? And the church is becoming more worldly. Alright? We are marrying. They are marrying themselves. So, it's not difficult when somebody says, I am a Christian, I'm born again. Check. Born again? Check. Jesus said, by this you shall know them. By what? By big Bible, you shall know them. Or when they come to the church, then you know that they are Christians, right? How do you know a Christian? Say, by their fruit, you shall know them. How do we demonstrate to the world that we belong to Christ? If we do not have fruit, we don't have the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of righteousness, and of course the souls, to prove that I had connection with He who is the author of life. Because I had connection with He who is the author of life, my life is imparting somebody. My life is touching somebody. I am going after somebody. I am ministering to somebody. Somebody somewhere is prayerfully, or is considering, or is asking question, if only I can have what Sister J is having. If only I can have what that man is having. At work, somebody is looking at that brother, that sister that has fruit, and they are, trying to inquire, how do we become like you? Because you have fruit. Something is showing that you are not ordinary Christian. You are not just churchgoer. You are not just carrying big Bible or a name. There is something to prove that you are connected with the creator of the heavens and the earth. Life and love. So Jesus condemned not only what they did in the temple, he condemned the fig tree that was, it was deceptive. That fig tree was deceptive. I have a lot of fruit, because my leaf shows I have a lot of fruit. Jesus got there, no fruit. And Jesus said, from today, no man eat any fruit on you. Because that tree deceived Jesus. And that is the devil. He's the deceiver. Hallelujah. And he's going all around deceiving people. I pray that none of us will become victims in the hand of the devil. In the mighty name of Jesus. How do we prove that? By asking God, creating me, that same hunger, that task that made you, you had concern for souls, you have concern for people who were sick, who were downcast, those who were rejected, neglected, right there in the temple. People were busy doing their business. You went after them, you healed them, you restored them back to original position where they should be. The enemy made them something else. You brought them back and restore life. You restore peace. You restore hope. You restore a destiny. To these ones, it's after souls. It's after, the life of man. Jesus did that the last week before he went to the cross. And in doing that, he showed his divinity. He showed his kingship or position, that is the Messiah that Israel was waiting for, even though they did not recognize him. They rejected him as the king. All right? He still made his position and what he came for known by riding in. Will you allow Jesus to ride in into your heart today if you are not yet a child of God? Will you allow Jesus to ride in into your family, into that situation? If Jesus rides in, he's not going to ride in as ordinary. He's king. As I was meditating again, before I came up during worship on that, you know why Jesus did not take the title of a president? You know why? Because in any nation, president is the highest, post, right? Position. You have to vote them in and vote them out. And they are subject to, okay, well, I want to do this. Can you go and put your heads together and, agree to agree with me? And if they say no, we don't agree with you, that is the end of that agenda. He's king. He has the last say. Everyone must obey. Everyone must bow. And that's why he's coming back to rule the entire world with a fist of iron. And the parable he gave, that he said a mighty man was going for a long journey, and he gave gifts. He gave mina to his servants. And as soon as he gave those gifts, some people protested and said, we don't want this man to reign over us. We don't want him to reign over us. The Bible says that man came back, not minding their protests. He came and he ruled. And said, bring all those people that said they don't want me to rule over them. Slay them here. And then he gave, he rewarded all the servants that worked. He's coming back, whether the world likes it or not. He's coming back, whether Antichrist likes it or not. Is coming back, whether America likes it or not. He is king. He's not president. He is king. He has the last word. He says it, heaven says yes. And the earth must obey. And that's why everyone that refuses to bow his knee right now, anyone who refuses to bow his or her knee right now, a day is coming. When they will stand before the King of Kings and before the Lord of Lords, and they will bow their knees, because that is what will be required before the last sentence of judgment is passed upon such individual. Because the Bible says, every tongue must confess that Jesus is the Lord. Every knee must bow to the glory of God. So on that day, it's not going to be, let us weigh, because that is the deception of the devil. Let's weigh your good. If your good outweighs the bad, then you enter into the kingdom. So put all your good, because some people say, I'm gentle, I'm nice.
I'm a philanthropic man. Everybody knows me. You know, I do well, I go gently, but that's your Jesus, sorry. But I know that day when God begin to weigh all the good that I've done, I will make heaven. I used to hear one man many years ago in Nigeria. He said, God, he said he's going to commit so many sins. So much that on that day God will be so angry. That when God is about to sentence him and he's going to sentence, he'll be so angry and he wants to throw me into hell, he will just fling him with much anger and then we fly over hell to the other side. I told you, God doesn't make mistakes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, brethren, on a serious note, it's better we bow now. It's better we obey now. It's better we do His will now. If it's tough, ask Him for grace. If you are, if anyone challenges you, why are you untying the cult and the donkey? Oh, the master is in need of it. You know what he's talking about? It's not just cult and donkey. Why you are doing the will of God when the kingdom of darkness stands against you and begin to resist you and begin to challenge your authority, stand in the name of Jesus and declare that heaven has sent you. You are not by yourself. You are not doing it in your own power. Amen. Hallelujah. Because you are not alone. And the Lord will be with us. The Lord will be with you. God is expecting us to bear fruits. John 15, 5 and 16. I pray that beginning from now, God will give us more burdens. Thank God for those who went out yesterday. It's not just about this month. It's not just about today. It's not just about, you know, the GPS. Suppose, you know, the GPS thing is, you know, that is not our focus. Next month. And maybe in the month after the next, maybe in the month of June, that's under focus. That doesn't mean we are forgotten, you know, going after souls, because that is paramount. That is important. That talks about you bearing fruit. That talks about, I'm questioning myself every day. Lord, where are my fruits? Where are my children spiritually? I'm going after them. I'm praying for them. Don't stop. And when God sees your hunger, God will give you souls. Who was that woman that said, give me a child or else I die? Huh? Hannah. Let's tell God, Lord, give me child. Give me children or else I die. Spiritually, give me children. Give me those that will stand for you. Those that I will stand in your presence, I will present them before you and say, these are the men. These are the children. These are those people that had me and then they gave their life. Let's rise on our feet. Father, Lord, thank you. Let the king in. Let it in. Let it in. Let it in. Oh, Father, let it in. Father, thank you, Lord Jesus. I want us to pray at this very moment as we round up. Just pray and ask the Lord God Almighty, make me like you, Jesus. Make me like you. Make me. You did not fail. With all that went through, all you went through, when the hour came, when the season came for him, for Jesus to accomplish his task here on earth, it did not waver. It did not, you know, cow. It did not allow the enemy to cow him down. Even though he saw it in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he wanted to dodge it, but he said, not my will, but your will be done. Jesus went for it. Joyfully, he rode into Jerusalem. He knew he was going to die. Let us pray. The beginner is not the worker. It's the one that endures to the end. Let's pray. Lord, give us endurance. Give us, oh God, enduring spirit, a willing spirit, a willing soul, a willing mind to do your will, to run, to follow you every day. Every moment, every hour. Lord, strength, give me grace to follow you every moment, every time. Jehovah God, help me. Father, I want to be fruitful. Father, remove every idiosyncrasies, any behavior in me, Lord, that will not allow your spirit to work effectively in me. Pray, 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 and ask the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And I want you also to pray. Lord, pray for strength, pray for power, pray. The Spirit of the Lord dwells in you. You are carrier of His presence, of His glory. Any challenge from any quarter, any challenge from any quarter, as you carry out the purpose of God. If any man ask of you, ask, why are you untying the cord and the donkey? Tell them, the Lord is in need of it. The Lord is in need of you. The Lord is in need of your this hour, this moment, this season, this time. The Lord is in need, oh yes, of all that He needs to get the work completed. Father, we thank you. Take all the glory. Take all the honor. I ask, oh Lord, that your word will go beyond human ability. Let it go beyond my ability to express or to, Lord, give out your word. Let it be your word. Let the Holy Spirit, oh God, interpret your word. Father, in every heart, in the name of Jesus, Lord, help us, oh God, that we will not, oh God, Father, fail you. We will not disappoint you. Father, our lives will be plain. Our lives, oh God, Father, Jehovah God, Father, we demonstrate your kingdom, your love. Thank you, Father. You will not be disappointed when you look into our lives. People will not be disappointed when they look into our lives. Help us through. Take all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.